word is true. Lord, that we can trust in it, rely upon it. Lord, that through it we can get to know you and your ways. So, Lord, today, as we read your word, Lord, we pray you reveal yourself to us. And, Lord, that we would grow stronger in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're continuing our series on miracles. I love that song we sing, and the atmosphere is changing now because the Spirit of the Lord is here. We believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. I believe this is a season for miracles. I think, like, you know, when Jim's talking about hitting that gate of heaven, we're talking about boldness. We're talking about believing strongly in what we believe and going hard at it for God. So the question, you know, we posed last week is it possible to believe that God loves you? Is it possible to believe that God wants to help you? Could it be, or could you believe that a miracle can not only be needed, but also available and possible in your life? Here's what I want to tell you this morning. God loves you. God wants to help you. And a miracle is not only possible, it's probable. I believe that with all my heart. I really believe when I say we're in a season of miracles, I believe that's God speaking. I believe that God has brought us right now as a church into a time of miracles. And that's why I want to make sure we understand what happens and how that comes about. So we're all involved in this process of believing for miracles. We all bring something to this place when we come together, or we take something away from it. We though are filled, the Bible says, with His Spirit when we give our lives to Christ. And when we ask the Lord to fill us with His Holy Spirit, to baptize us in the Holy Spirit, we then carry that Spirit of God with us. It's really important for us to know that. So, the truth is, so I'm reviewing a little bit from last week, and then we'll head on to the rest of what I want to say today. Miracles need the right atmosphere in order to be realized. There's an atmosphere for miracles. There is. And we started talking a little bit last week how to create that atmosphere, but I just want to remind you of the story I told you. We Christine and I, we like planting trees and shrubs and stuff, so we generally do a lot of it. And last year, Christine's mom and dad wanted to get a bed done in front of their house. Her dad hasn't been doing that well, and he's just getting tired of bending over, plucking weeds. So we're doing a perennial bed for him, and we were putting some shrubs in. So we planted these hydrangeas. And hydrangeas, when you plant them especially, need a lot of water. And we got going with that, and we thought, well, we should plant a couple at our house, too. So we did. We planted a couple hydrangeas at our house, and it was really dry last summer, right? Like everybody, it was probably the driest summer on record. So we were just pouring the water to our hydrangeas. I'd come home from work, and they'd be all laid down almost, like dried out. They look almost dead. And then pour some water on them, and, you know, an hour later, they're all standing up straight again. But it was just like constantly creating an environment of health for those hydrangeas so they would grow. My in-laws, though, you know, were a little bit cheaper than us and really didn't bother. So they just let their hydrangeas die. They watered them a little bit and they keep them going for a little bit. But then eventually they were just, you know, a brown pile of leaves laying on their flower bed. You know, at least weeds couldn't grow through that. But the environment that we planted both of those in was probably not the best environment because it was a little too sunny for them. But the year was hard on them. But we had to keep working at creating an environment where they could grow. Now, this year, our hydrangeas in our front bed are looking great. There are big pink flowers on them. They're healthy. They're strong. They're doing good. In the spirit realm, though, certain climates and environments work to either foster or frustrate miracles. We read the book of Mark. There's a lot of miracles in Mark, but in Mark chapter 5, Jesus found himself in Mark chapter 6, he found himself in an environment where miracles were not possible. In Mark chapter 5, the Bible tells us that Jesus raised a little girl from the dead. And at the end of chapter 6, he fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, these are not small miracles. I don't know about you. But, like, I remember growing up, we were poor. We were. We didn't have a lot of money, but my mom and dad loved having people over to the house. When we first got saved, you know, we had people over all the time. And I know we didn't have money. And I remember my mom telling this story many times, that she would put a pot on the stove and pray over it that it would feed the people that were there. And sometimes you saw the size of the pot and you saw the group of people. And we know that God did a miracle of multiplication, but that might have been to feed 20 or 30 people. But we're talking 5,000, the Bible says, men plus women and children. That's a big crowd with five fishes and two loaves, whichever it was. Five loaves and two fishes. You should stand up here and see what's like staring at y'all and try to remember things. So anyway, he fed them. But then between those two stories, Jesus went to a town called Nazareth, and the Bible said he could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief. So there are atmospheres where miracles can happen, and there's atmospheres where miracles can't happen. And we need to know how to provide and create an atmosphere for miracles. When a miracle's on its way, fear, doubt, delays, adverse situations come our way. They fight that miracle. But we need to choose to meet every obstacle that comes our way with faith. We need to decide what God's word says is true and trust that he's going to bring it to pass. How many of you have ever prayed for something and you're asking God for something, and if someone asks you what you're believing for, you don't really want to tell just in case it wouldn't happen? Anybody? Just be honest, like it's all right. The Bible, though, says faith declares things. We're singing a lot of songs that were declaring things this morning, right? And faith declares that this is what the miracle is. So when I say this morning, I'm declaring that this is a time and a season for miracles. I'm doing it in faith. I'm putting my neck on the line. I'm going to be bold about it because I really believe that this is what God wants to do right now. And we need to. When we have obstacles come against us, we need to face them with faith and declare what God's word says about it to be true. It's the truth of God's word that really changes things, and we need to really approach things with faith. We need to see God's goodness and the capacity that God has to meet our needs. If we see God as small, like I said last week, a pie, you know, like there's 8 pieces of pie, there's 10 people that need a miracle. So if I take a piece, someone else is going to do that. Well, maybe I'll just have a half a piece. Right? It sounds silly, but really, so many times we look at God in that way. Or like, I got my thing, you know, God met my daily bread today, so now I got to go to the end of the line again. Like at Wonderland, to stand in line for 3 hours or 3 days or 3 years to get the next thing that God has. It's not that way. God's capacity is great. The Bible says that he holds the universe in the span of his hands. Right? In the span of his hands, he holds the universe. God is great. He has everything we need. God never looks and goes, oh no, I can't believe this happened. I don't think I have what it takes to provide. He doesn't. God is awesome. God is powerful. God is mighty. We have to believe that the power of God can overwhelm our obstacles instead of allowing ourselves to be overwhelmed and discouraged by the obstacles. How many of you ever felt overwhelmed by what you're going through? I have. Yesterday. Like, honestly, there's some things, you know, as a family we're struggling through right now. You know, like, we're believing with Nick for a miracle. But after I got done praying here last night, I had to go to the hospital because Nick was getting a transfusion. That was hard. That was really hard on me. And, these things come, but we need to stand up in faith and believe that what God's word says is true, not what we're looking at. The truth is that most of us will have to nurture and even revive an expectation for miracles in our lives. We're going to have to work at it. We're going to have to go back through the Bible and read the stories again. We're going to have to pick out some scriptures that speak to us and start memorizing them and preparing our hearts for miracles. And we have to start practicing, saying with our mouth what we believe with our heart. We have to start really just getting our hearts set on God again for miracles. We can all think of many reasons to be doubtful and discouraged when miracles don't come. When they don't come when we thought they would come. Maybe you believe for something for a while, and still you don't see the full realization of what you prayed for. God is at work, I'm telling you. There's some things I prayed for sometimes, and it took a long time to see what God was bringing to pass, but I see it now. And I'm just telling you, keep believing. Whether you're praying for a child that's wayward, whether you're, you know, going through a real financial crisis in your life right now, whether it's a health issue, whether it's, you know, you're believing God for a career and the doors don't seem to be opening, or whether it's whatever, right? You need to believe. You need to keep believing. You need to keep trusting God. Whatever you need today, no matter how unlikely a miracle miracle seems, give it to God. Give it to God. Leave it with God. Believe that God has your back, that God has you, that He can and will intervene in your situation and bring help in your time of need. Today, start to create a miracle environment in your life, in your heart, in your own heart, by reading the Word, by telling the old story, you know, like some of the old songs, right? Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. These are special, and we need to write, you know, God's word in our heart. We need to hide it there. We need to, you know, read the stories of what God has done, and then we need to believe that God can do it for us today too. Create that atmosphere in your own heart. Move the atmosphere with you into your home, your workplace, into church with you. Everywhere you go, take a miracle atmosphere with you. In Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "The Lord replied, 'Look and be amazed. You will be astounded at what I'm about to do. For I'm going to do something in your own lifetime that you will have to see to believe.'" It's time to develop an atmosphere for miracles. It's time to look and to be amazed, to be astounded at what God is about to do. He's going to do a work in our lifetime that we will have to see to believe. Time to shake off discouragement. It's time to look up in faith to God. In faith, right? Faith. Not just like wonder, but faith. Believing that what God says is true. It's time for us to create an atmosphere for miracles. Are you ready to do that? So the first thing I talked about last week was in order to create an atmosphere for miracles, we have to have an expectation that God will help. We have to believe that God actually can and will, right? We have to believe that God loves us, that He cares about us. And then we have to believe that He has what it takes to do what He said He would do. Expectation is really the breeding ground for miracles. People that expect miracles usually receive miracles. I know this saying, I say it a lot. You don't always get what you want out of life, but you usually get what you expect. So what are you expecting? And if you're expecting the house to fall down on you, or if you're expecting the clouds to break on a picnic day, or whether you're expecting like everything to go wrong, you'll probably get what you expect. Just saying. But if you expect that God will intervene, that God will help you, that God is with you, then He probably will be with you and He will help. I believe that with all my heart. Again, I said this last week, so I'm reviewing, but when we go to youth camp, we expect God to do something in the hearts and lives of our youth. And we've been doing this for like ever, like 30 years we've been doing youth camps. And it never fails. Every time we go, God does something amazing in our young people. Because not only do we come expecting, they come expecting. When you come to church on Sunday morning, are you expecting God to do something good, or are you just expecting to go there, do your deal, get out of there, have a lunch? Oh, good, that's done. I'm done. Sunday, I did my thing on Sunday. Or are you expecting actually to meet with God? So the second thing is we have to have an attitude of belief. I talked about last week the IKEA furniture. You know, putting together that furniture that comes in a box. And most of us put it together, especially the males, without ever reading the instructions. And we get halfway through and then we're like, this doesn't work. It can't work. Like, I have all these pieces and they don't fit together. And we're like, this can't be true. These instructions were made by idiots. Like, it's true that this is not true. Because our experience says it doesn't work. But if we would actually take the little cartoons out of the box and we would follow their directions and do what it says, the piece of furniture will go together good. Right? How many of you guys or how many women have had their husbands say, there's pieces missing, and you say, did you read the instructions? And they go, instructions, what are they for? Right? Some men don't like instructions, but this is our instruction manual. This is how we live life. Now, truthfully, bad things happen. How many of you ever experienced bad things in your life? How many of you have ever experienced struggle, pain? You know, how many of you have ever done stupid things? Right? But God has a plan for you. He's written it. And we need to start to go with God's plan instead of our own. God has a way. The Bible says in James that with every temptation, with every trial, with every struggle, God's provided a way of escape for us. So we can develop an attitude of belief if we take the Bible, take what it says, hide it in our heart, instead of just looking at unfulfilled dreams and the brokenness of our lives as truth. We need to take the Bible and look at it as truth. We all have opportunities to doubt. We all have opportunities to hurt. We all have that opportunity, but we need to approach with belief and faith. St. Augustine said, faith is to believe what we do not see, and the reward of faith is to see what we believe. Again, faith is to believe what we do not see, and the reward of faith is to see what we believe. Jesus said in Mark chapter 9:23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Can you believe? It's challenging, right? Like if it was easy, everybody would be doing it, right? But it's hard to believe sometimes. It's hard to believe and to see a way out of the thing you're in sometimes. But the Bible said, if you can't believe, all things are possible. So it's really important for us to find a way to believe, find a way to form belief in our own hearts. Will you choose to believe what God's word says or what your experiences have taught you? You have to choose. If you look at your life and say, it doesn't work, God doesn't care or God meant for my life to be this mess, then that's what you're going to live with, honestly. But if you believe that God loves you and that you're in this mess and the Bible said that I'll turn out everything for good for those who love me and are called according to your purpose, you can get out of that mess and make God could do something good in you. But we have to believe it. We have to believe that God really does care about us. If you want to believe God's word, great. If you want to believe your experiences, then that's going to be hard. Third thing we talked about is when we focus on the greatness of God, we create an environment for miracles. We read the Bible, and I was talking about this. If you want to really get ready to receive a miracle, read the Bible a bit, right? We can see the greatness of our God. We can see his power, his mercy, his forgiveness, and his love. If we take some time to read it, we'll be strengthened in our faith. I love reading stories. Like sometimes we read through and we just don't really put ourselves in the picture. But when you think about the story of the feeding of the 5,000, right? That's a big story. That's a miracle. That's not just something little. Just think about 5,000 people, right? That's pretty well everybody that lives in Dunville all gathered in one place. That's quite a big crowd of people, right? And Jesus fed them with 5 loaves and 2 fish. So, like, that's like a, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken meal deal, you know, like, and that's the box, right? And this is what Jesus fed them with. That's a big deal. I love the story of when Jesus was walking toward town and he was heading and there was a crowd around him and they were following him and they were waiting to see what kind of a miracle he would do. And out of the town came another big crowd. They were following a funeral procession. A widow's son had died. She'd lost her husband. Now she lost her son. All her hope of being taken care of financially and having a place to live and food on her table was laid in that casket, in that coffin. One group was coming down the road rejoicing and excited in a party atmosphere. The other group was in mourning. The Bible said Jesus looked and had compassion on the widow. He looked at her and he had compassion on her. And he said to the boy, "Arise." And he arose. That's a great story. If you think you're in a situation this morning and God doesn't care, God has compassion on you. When God has compassion, he raises dead things back to life. He changes every environment. When we know who our God is and what he's capable of, we don't have to worry about the little problems we have. Like, you think God raised that boy from the dead, and we're worried about our bank account. You think that's something we should be worried about? You think that that's something our God cannot handle? I don't know the details. I don't know your details. I don't know where you're at. I don't know how God's going to solve your problem. But I guarantee you, if you'll give it to him and if you'll believe in him, he will. We need to focus on the greatness of our God. In 1 Chronicles 29:11, it says, "To you, O God, belong the greatness and the might, the glory, the victory, the majesty, the splendor. Yes, everything in heaven, everything on earth, the kingdom, all yours. You've raised yourself high over." This is our God. This is our God. We need to understand that. Okay, now we're into new stuff. When we experience the presence of the living Christ, it creates an atmosphere for miracles. That's why I believe in worship. That's why most Sunday mornings when I get up at the beginning, for those of you that are here, I always say, you know, like, we have a choice this morning. We can invite the presence of the Lord into this place. We can choose to focus on him. This morning, choose to worship him with all your heart, because the presence of God changes everything. I think Renee and John sang a song last week that Jesus changes everything. He does. He changes everything. He'll change your whole world if you let him. But in our culture, we seem to be trained to be skeptical about religious experience. Right? We seem to be made wary of our emotions and the feelings that we have because you can't trust your feelings. Feelings can fool you. But God made your feelings. God gave you emotion, and they're for your good. I believe in having emotional experiences with God. I'm good with that. I believe that we as God's people should be able to sense his presence. I don't know about you, but when we were singing that song this morning, "What a Beautiful Name," I just feel the presence of Jesus in this place. I expect every Sunday morning, I come here every Saturday night and I pray. And I ask God that his presence would be real in the building on Sunday morning. I invite him to be here because I know that his presence changes everything. I know that one word from God, one idea that God drops in your heart could change your whole life. I know, you know, what it's like to feel lonely and have God say to me, "Ralph, I love you." I know what it is to feel hopeless and have God speak an encouraging word into my heart. Because I believe that God, the presence of Jesus is not only possible, but is available to us all the time. The presence of Jesus changes everything. So we're here this morning worshiping the Lord. I expect to have an encounter with the Lord. I expect to feel his presence in the room. Not in some spooky way, but in a way that we would know that we've met with God today. I don't want to just gather in church. I don't want to just do a meeting. I don't just want to like tick the box and say, I went to church on Sunday morning. I want to meet with God today. I want to meet with Him. I want Him to touch my heart. I want Him to change me. I want Him to work in my life. So not enough just to hear a good talk. I want to have an encounter with Jesus this morning. Story in the Bible. Again, this is a great story. It says, and again, in Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 5, and then verse 12, it says, and again, Jesus entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. In some versions, it said it was spread abroad that Jesus was in the house. And so when that happened, immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. So the place was so packed out inside that there was no room for people to even squeeze in the door anymore. It was just packed, right? So, and he preached the word to them. And then they came to him bringing a paralyzed man who was carried on a stretcher by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they climbed on the roof. They uncovered the roof. It means they tore a hole in the roof. How many of you like your house to have a hole torn in the roof because somebody was desperate to be with Jesus, right? They tore a hole in the roof. You know what that means? They actually tore a hole. Like we're putting a new boiler in the building, and these guys who are wanting to put the boiler in are telling Bob, we've got to cut a hole in the roof. And Bob's going, no, we're not cutting a hole in the roof. We're going to fix the chimney. We're going to make, because we don't want to cut a hole in our roof. When you cut a hole in a roof, it really is bad for a house, right? So they cut a hole in the roof. They lowered the man down in front of Jesus, and this is what happened. So when they have broken through, right? So you're standing there listening to someone preach, and, you know, drywall's falling, right? Shingles are coming down on your head, and all of a sudden, like, look out, because there's a bed coming down. This is what the Bible says, right? So they have broken through. They let down the bed on which the paralytic was laying. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Have you ever seen anything like that? Like, seriously. Here's the thing I love about this scripture. Because sometimes we have a hard time receiving a miracle for ourselves. This is what it says. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, the friend's faith, he said to the man, be healed. Sometimes we can really just step in and help others get a miracle. So think about that. Who do you know? If your life is great, who do you know that needs a miracle, and how can you help them? How can you tear a hole in the roof so that God will touch that person? It's so important for us as believers to welcome the Lord and His presence into our life. Because in the atmosphere of His presence, miraculous things happen. When it was heard that Jesus is in the house, miracles happen. I'm believing that people will hear that there's Jesus is in this house. And that miracles will happen, and you won't be able to get in because of people pressing in here. In Mark chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, another miracle. The man saw Jesus at a distance, so he ran to Jesus, bowed down in front of him. This is the story of Jesus landing up on the shore of this town and close to a graveyard, obviously. And there was a man in the graveyard who was possessed. Of demons, and he was like cutting himself. They'd chain him up. He'd break the chains and get out. As soon as Jesus showed up on the shore, the man saw Jesus, so he ran to him, bowed down in front of him, and shouted, why are you bothering me now, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me. So Jesus just arrives on the shore, and this guy's going, why are you here to bother me? Right? Because when Jesus shows up, it changes the atmosphere. He shouted this because Jesus said, you evil spirit, come out of the man. And Jesus asked him, what's your name? And he told Jesus, my name is Legion, 6,000, because there are many of us. It was the demon talking, saying there's many of us in this man. And they came to Jesus. So Jesus cast the devil out of him. This is going down to verse 15. It says, they came to Jesus and saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. And the man was sitting there dressed in his right mind. And people were frightened. So Jesus came. Jesus delivered this man. And Jesus set him free. And then people were afraid because they thought, like, what kind of power could do this? When Jesus comes on the scene, everything changes. When the presence of Jesus is evident, then lives are changed and people are healed. And so we need to long for, and we need to recognize and celebrate the presence of the Lord and know that in His presence miracles can happen. I think sometimes, you know, we get into a time of worship. We experience the presence of God and we're living by a clock too much and we just want to move things on. But sometimes in that place is when miracles could happen. Number five. So miracles can happen when we ask for them with boldness. In order to see miracles today, we must ask for them often, pray for them specifically, and declare that they're here. Boldness really means we go outside of our comfort zone. It means we do things that we're not really comfortable with. I'm not really comfortable with saying that this is a time for miracles, because now we need to see some miracles or I look like an idiot, honestly. and it's uncomfortable for me to say, but I believe it. And I'm declaring it boldly because I think that's what happens when we declare boldly. Boldness means we go outside of our comfort zone. We get away from our small prayers and we ask for miracles boldly. We need to ask for things that are humanly impossible, and we need to do it with boldness. Like so many times we pray prayers that we can answer ourselves, right? Lord, heal my headache. Was I down a couple of Tylenol? A couple hours later, I'm feeling great, right? Or Lord, help my finances, and we stop, you know, going out spending all our money every day. And but when we're in a spot where we can't do it ourselves, and where there's a miracle that we can't humanly provide on our own, it honors God that we ask Him. And this is another great miracle story found in Matthew chapter 20. As they were leaving Jericho, a huge crowd followed. Suddenly, they came upon two blind men sitting alongside the road. And when they heard it was Jesus passing, they cried out, Master, have mercy on us. Mercy, Son of David. And the crowd tried to hush them up, but they got all the louder, crying, Master, have mercy on us. Mercy, Son of David. And Jesus stopped and called them over. What do you want from me? And they said, Master, we want our eyes to be opened. We want to see. Deeply moved, Jesus touched their eyes, that they had their sight back that very instant and joined the procession. So these are beggars. I don't know if you've ever seen a beggar, if you've ever been in a third world country. The idea of a beggar is they lay there. They don't make a fuss. They don't disturb traffic. They beg. They sit there. And really, to be successful, you know, they were humble. They had to be humble. And they did their thing. And when they started crying out, Jesus, heal us, right? They were endangering their income. Because people that would normally give to them or tell them, be quiet, stop asking, stop bugging, and just do what you're told. And they didn't. They kept crying out, Jesus, have mercy on us. Jesus, have mercy on us. And they were there, and they were pushing on God for a miracle because they believed that God could change their situation. They believed that Jesus, if they received a miracle from Jesus, their begging days were over, that they wouldn't have to sit there anymore, but that they could go out and make a living for themselves. And so they put everything on the line. They made a fool out of themselves. They were told by the crowd to be quiet. But Jesus recognized their boldness and said, and the Bible says that he had compassion on them. He was deeply moved, the Bible says. And he healed them. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, you can never please God without faith, without depending on Him. Anyone who wants to come to God must believe, first of all, that there is a God, and secondly, that He rewards those who sincerely look for Him. Ask boldly. We talked a little bit over the last couple weeks ago about prayer and fasting. so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. It's a fast. It says in Isaiah 58, verse 5 and 6, it said, "Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call a fast and an acceptable day of the Lord?" God was really saying, you guys are doing all this kind of religious duty and thing, but this, then he goes on to say, this is the fast that I've chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. How many of you would need some bonds of wickedness broken or some heavy burdens lifted or to be free or to have every yoke in your life broken? That happens when we fast. So make up your mind to establish a miracle environment wherever you go. Believe it with all your heart that it's God's desire, and then trust Him to make up the difference. We can't do these things in our own power or by our own strength, only through God. Trust Him to show up and do what only God can do. Some of you need a miracle today. Some of you are struggling in your marriage. Some of you are struggling in your body. Some of you are struggling in your finances. You need a miracle. Believe God today. Trust Him. Create an atmosphere for miracles. Trust that God will do that. I just want to just talk about one little thing here, and then I'm going to close because we're getting there. So, you guys know that on the day of Pentecost, right, the Bible talks that when the day of Pentecost had fully come, the Holy Spirit, you know, came into the room. And the Bible said that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, that there was tongues of fire on their heads, that there was a mighty rushing wind, and they spoke with other tongues, poured out into the street, church was born. The word that's used for power in that verse is dunamis, right? One of the words used for miracles very often is dunamis. And the word dunamis actually means this. It means might. Strength, power, ability, inherent power, power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature, power for performing miracles. It denotes both power and miracles. So the word power or the word miracles they're together. And when the Bible says when we receive the Holy Spirit, right, that we receive what? You know? We receive power, right? The word actually is dunamis. It's the same word that's used for miracles. That we receive, when we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive dunamis power to live on the inside of us. So we, by nature now, as we receive the Holy Spirit, have the miracle power of God at work in us and through us. We have received that. It says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you shall receive power, dunamis, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in both Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." We are now people of the Spirit. That's what the Bible teaches us. We are people filled with the Holy Spirit. We are like Jesus when he walked on the earth. When Jesus walked on the earth, he didn't have the authority as the Son of God at that time. He's human. The Bible said he became human in every way. He took on the form of man. The Bible said after he was baptized, he went out into the wilderness, right? And he fasted for 40 days. And then it says he came back from the wilderness in the power, the dunamis of the Spirit. And everything Jesus did in his ministry on earth was done as a human being with the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of him. The dunamis power of the Holy Spirit, which he came out of the wilderness in the power of that, and lived in that for those 3.5 years of ministry. We have received that same Holy Spirit in us for miracles, for power to flow through us. And if you think, a lot of people think that that was just for the early church, that it ended with the apostles, right? But I want you to hear this verse. This is important. I just want you to think about this week as we're going to go into the next part about miracles. We have to understand that miracles and the power for miracles resides in us. It's part of our nature now. So it says this in Acts 2, verse 38 and 39. It says, "Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized." Again, we're going to be, if you're not baptized and you gave your heart to Jesus today, Get baptized. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises to you, right? So he's talking then to those people that were there. He said, this promise is to you and to your children. So then the next generation. And then it talks about, and to those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord your God shall call. So we're those ones that were afar off at that time. We're called by God. We now have the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. We're children of the promise. We've been given dunamis. We've been given power for the same reason as the first church. To see God work miracles and to perform miracles to confirm his word as it's preached. The early church was birthed in miracles. The early church grew because of miracles. If you take miracles out of the Gospels, and if you take miracles out of Acts, there's not much left there. Predominantly, those books are full of miracles. If you want to read about miracles, read the Gospels and read Acts, right? Miracles, God used miracles to begin the church. I believe that God still wants to use miracles to grow his church. It's not so that we can say, look, come to me, you know, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll do a miracle and you'll be good. No. It's so that people could see God's power and God's glory through us and want to turn their lives over to Jesus. So if the enemy wants to fight anything in our hearts and in our lives, he wants us to know that we're weak, that we have no power, that we're just going to suffer and we're barely going to get through this life and we're just going to hang on by our fingernails to get into heaven. That's what the enemy would like us to think. But the truth is that we have the power of the Holy Spirit, the power that resided in Jesus. The Bible says the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us, strengthens our mortal bodies. So we need to understand that we have the power living in us to do miracles, to see miracles happen in our life. Okay, I'll say it. Amen. That's good. Right on. That's amazing. Because it is. It's amazing. Many people have tried to downplay the value of miracles, yet the fact remains that God made abundant use of miracles in giving Christianity its start in the world, and he wants to use it today to grow the church. The supernatural should be expected and embraced by us as believers. And God will follow his preaching with the preaching of his word with signs and miracles. I'll close with this scripture, and I want to read you a short story. It says, and he said to them, go into all the world, proclaim the gospel to all nations. He who is believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And miraculous signs will follow those who? Those who believe, right? So that's us, right? In my name, you, right? Tanya, Anna, Maggie, Pat, right? Will cast out demons, and Robbie, and Steve, and Jen, and Jamie, and Dave, and Logan, right? Will speak in new tongues. And Judah, and Jarrett, and Renee will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick. And they will be well. Believe that? Let me read you a story. It's very short, and then we're going to say amen. And we're going to go to the lake. There's no caffeine today. We're going straight to the lake. For months, the village had been without rain. Crops were failing, and people were starving. Finally, the village leaders called for a day of prayer. Everyone in the village was gathered in the center of the town to pray for a miracle, to pray that the rains would come. On the appointed day, everyone had gathered, from the oldest to the youngest. The village elder stood in front of the people, looking out at the fear and desperation on their faces. He could read the questions in their eyes. What will happen if no rain comes? How long will we survive? Then his eyes looked into the eyes of faith. They were set in the gaunt face of a little girl, so frail and thin that she looked as if a breath could blow her away. Among the fear-filled faces, she stood resolute and confident, the edges of a smile on her lips, faith in her eyes, and an umbrella in her hand. Sometimes we pray for rain, and we forget to bring the umbrella. And when we forget to bring the umbrella, we either believe it's not going to rain, or we're going to get really wet. My question is today, will you bring an umbrella? Will you believe in faith that what you pray will really happen? Lord,